We started out last week imitating Christ when God said no. And this time I'm going to talk a minute about imitating Christ, the teacher. And the first thing that you think of is, wow, he's the master. He's the master teacher. Nobody can do that. Even those that hated him said he was a great teacher. No way could you even hope to imitate him as the teacher. Well, let's see. So let's turn to Ephesians first. Ephesians 4. I'm going to give you a shot at getting out of this lesson, but anyway. But unto everyone, Ephesians 4, 7 through 11. Y'all know it, but I'll read it. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he has also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That he descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. So see there, North. See there, I don't have to listen to this message because I'm not one of those teachers. Well, let's see. Let's see what we have. Maybe you're right. At least Ephesians 4 divides it up and says not everybody's a teacher. Recall that Ephesians 5:1 said, and I'm shortening it down, be ye followers of God. The footnote says follow is literally imitate. Recall the dictionary definition suggests that a meaning of follow. Recall that it was imitate. Recall that Christ says to follow him in Matthew 4:19, 9:9, Mark 2:14, 8:34, Luke 5:27, and 9:23. And these are the verses where he calls the disciples and he's saying to them, follow me. I suggest to you that he's saying that to us too. Imitate. The dictionary has four definitions to imitate. Number one is to model oneself after the behaviors and actions of another. Bear in mind, doesn't say a dang thing about teaching. Number two, to copy the actions and the appearance of another. Well, actions and appearance doesn't sound like to me that's speech. Number three, here we get into a little trouble. Duplicate exactly. Reproduce. That could be speech. It could be word for word. Could be plagiarism. Could be. Number four is to appear like. Appear like. So is it plagiarism? Well, you know, the pastor in Dallas wrote out a sermon. Well, really, I guess he didn't write it out. He copied it word for word for word and gave it. The church didn't like it, found out about it, called it plagiarism. He called the man that originally wrote the sermon, and he had absolutely no problem with him repeating his sermon. In fact, he said he was flattered. But the church fired him anyway. Imitation is different than plagiarism. The word for word stuff is not involved in imitation. A lot of people imitate. a lot of imitation going on. One example was my youngest daughter was transferred to an Episcopal school, and she came home from the Episcopal school and after the first or second day, and she wanted a yardstick. I couldn't figure out what it was. And she went to her room and closed the door and was playing in there, and it just bothered me. What did she get a yardstick for? I mean, we had a lot of wood out in the shop. She got all of it. I mean, anyway, I did. She was playing acolyte, lighting the candles like they did in chapel at the church, imitating them. All sorts of boys understand that boys imitate their favorite sports star. They replay Saturday's games over and over and again, and they're much better than the original stars. And the old pastor comes in and he plays the role. He's just really an old man, and he pretends he's even older than he really is. I'm just a country boy, and I got a lot of aches and pains. And the young pastor come in and imitate him, but it doesn't work. He's not able to imitate him. And then there's Elvis Presley. Everybody's tried to imitate him. Some imitation goes on that's really improper, because the Bible is fiercely recorded people that have tried to make themselves out to be Jesus Christ, the teacher. Actually, sometimes pretending to be God himself. And there's the police officer that pretends he's a police officer, and he stops a girl in the car that he thinks is kind of cute with his uniform on that's really make-believe, and pretends to try to get a date with the girl in the car. Not truthful. So imitation can be good and bad. And before I go on to this with this lesson, I want to suggest to you that, and just let me be up front. I know there are people in the congregation, and there are people that have left this congregation who believe that the only book you ought to ever read is the Bible. So I want to confess, I've been reading a book. I've been reading a book that I find hard to read, because it's so detailed and so long and so difficult. It's a nice little book written by Roy Zook, one of my favorite teachers. Teaching as Jesus Taught. Now, anybody that knows Roy Zook and has sat under him in class, as Ruth and I have, would know that his lectures left no stone unturned. Simple, understandable delivery of his lectures is discussion, but anything he did was scholarly. Very much in depth, left no stones unturned. So, he's actually teaching in the book the way Jesus actually delivered his messages. You see, he's talking not about imitating Christ. He's talking about his teaching. His teaching morality, word, the Bible, or teaching the law. He's talking about informal classes, and his teaching in the informal classes. And he's talking about conversations that you have, but not actually talking about imitating Christ. The book includes 481 of Jesus' commands in the Bible. That's all of them, folks. He discusses every one of them. He discusses what the command is, where it was, where it took place, who was involved in the whole thing. It has a list of all the questions asked of Jesus. The name of the person, the question itself, the kind of material involved in the question, the place where it was asked, Jesus' posture at the place, his answer, the kind of answer, and the response to his answer. It is a scholarly document about the teaching of Jesus Christ, to wit, the lecture, the discussions, the conversations. Working my way through this book was hard labor, especially if you start looking up his references, because his references in the back of the book is 20 pages long, and there are 200 references per page. It's a work. Read it if you read his references. And if you incorporate what he's teaching and teaching as Jesus taught, you can probably learn to emulate way Jesus actually taught. Oh, I forgot. Teachers, we don't have to study this, huh? Because you see, some are not teachers; some are other things. In a sense of lectures, Bible studies, and discussions, conversations, that's what he's talking about in the book. So, do we have to imitate Christ? Christ, the way he teaches. Well, Dr. Zook, you see, does not discuss imitation in the book. But doesn't discuss imitation of Christ in the way he taught imitation. He basically is giving information on Christ for three main purposes. So he's telling us about preaching, which is teaching the word, I mean, morality, doctrine, his doctrine, teaching law, the legal aspects, and healing the sick. That's Christ's three main purposes, according to Mr. Zook, Dr. Zook. He uses the following methods: the discussion, the lecture, and the conversation and answering questions. But he says nothing about imitating Christ's actions. Recall the definition of imitation: to model oneself after one's behavior. People can say anything, and they do, but it's their actions. What you do, what you mean. What you say, what you do. Well, people are watching you all the time. Whether you like it or not, people are watching you, and your actions are known by everybody. People that see you and by what you do. You are teaching someone by what you do with your actions. Let's look. You know, the Bush family campaigned four times for president. First three all promised in their campaigns to change and update the immigration system to prevent illegals from coming into the country. And the people voted for them and really expected and intended to have that kind of job done. They were elected, but they did nothing. They didn't even start it. Didn't even try it, to my recollection. Didn't raise the issue like they said they would. The fourth campaign, the campaign took the opposite view and supported the illegals. He lost. So people can say anything, but it's really important what they do. And what you do is, as a person, as a Christian, as a teacher that imitates Christ. So how does Christ teach? By acts, by his action that we are to imitate. Well, I haven't gotten all the verses, but you know the stories. First one is water to wine. He changed the water to wine. He told his mother that it was before his time. She told him to go ahead and do it anyway. In the lesson, he obeyed his mom. He served the need. People see that. They see it from what you do. Second thing that I've listed down here, he drew a line in the sand. I don't know what he expected to happen with that, but he drew a line in the sand and he responded and told them, with whoever did not sin, throw the first stone. He saved the girl from the stoning. He teaches forgiveness by his actions. Suffer the little children to come unto him. Important lesson of life. He rebuts abortion right there by his action. Just letting the children come to him. He sleeps in the boat. Teaches not to fear. Divides the loaves. Compassion. Shows compassion for the people that are there. There's others lessons with that. He repairs the ear. Tells us not to fight with us. Doesn't fight. That's his actions. He doesn't fight. Could have called the angels in, I guess, but he doesn't fight. Refuses a drink on the cross. Demonstrates his suffering. Shows he's suffering. Demonstrating his lessons, his action. Showing he means what he says in his lectures, his discussions, his conversations. So what about us? Well, we can't change water to wine. We're not going to. But we live in a country where the little girl comes to Dallas from a state up north. She lives with a man that believes in witchcraft. Her first little boy was here, gone. Couldn't find him. He's pregnant. Opportunity, you see, to teach her a lesson because she wants to save the child, the opportunity to share the gospel message with somebody in that right there presented to you. It doesn't mean that you'll have that happen. In fact, it means probably that that kind of a thing won't happen to you. It'll be something else that happens to you. So, help her to get baby transfer, born and transferred to an adoptive parent. Don't have to be a lawyer. Wasn't a lawyer. Just helped him get the baby transferred to somebody that was going to care for it. Happened to go to Grandpa's funeral. The mother and the child were there. Oh man, they were all over thanking me for what I'd done, but you see, it was just what should have been done. Teaching them what Christ did. We may not change water to wine, but we can get water for the sick. And I repeat, you've been watching, you're being watched. Everything you do, you're teaching you're teaching Christ, not Christ. We all tend to do both. So what does the Bible say? Well, I want to go to what we've looked at before, I guess, but Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. We've said it before, keep saying it. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. Then Second Thessalonians 3:9. It's not a long verse. 2 Thessalonians 3:9. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Telling us we need to imitate him. In Ephesians 6:18-20. Ephesians 6:18-20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak. And so here we have what are in those three verses. We have follow God, we have act like Christ, and we have use his words, or words that teach Christ's redeeming grace. So, you see what we've done. Those of you that have said up front, well, no, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a teacher. Now, I have this sneaking suspicion just from what's gone on in my life that everybody, whether you're Christian or not, whether you're a believer or not, whether you're so-called hanger on, whether you come and don't believe, whether you believe and don't come, whatever your status is, I have this sneaking suspicion that everybody has an occasion that comes up in their life where they are the only one that can do what God needs to have done. The little girl that came from up north came down to Dallas to shop. Her parents were witches. We had maybe 20, 30 minutes with her alone. If they'd known what we were saying, they would have been very upset. They went back. They've never come back to the place where we met them, and they were regular attenders at that place for a while. So I fear worse. But it gave us an opportunity to talk to her for a few minutes about Christ and the Bible. She asked. I mean, she asked. We didn't have to start it off. She asked herself, what is this about the Bible? So we had an opportunity to talk. Well, whether we like it or not, the government is not on our side. Whether we like it or not, the government's on the way to split Christianity. They've already started calling those evil Christians, and if you read the papers and the newspapers and the stories in the news, they've already started calling us those evil Christians. Christians are evil. You knew that, didn't you? But why not? You see, it worked. This division of this country worked with race. It worked with abortion. It worked with education. It worked with marriage. It worked with global warming, or is working. So why not destroy the church? Isolate the Christians. Isolate them. You see, don't let you come to this little meeting here because Ray North or somebody else may say something that would encourage you to be in the fellowship. Of course, they may not. They may not encourage you, but they may encourage you to be in the fellowship. At least, don't shut the churches down so that you isolate all the Christians. They call this gaslighting, if I'm thinking about it straight, which means to just lie and lie and lie and destroy America. There will come a time. There will come a time when you are in a position where what you do and say, the only person that will have an opportunity. So, I have 1 Corinthians 8:11. I've got that right here. I'll recite it from what I wrote down. And through the knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Suggesting failure to act. Failure to take action. Failure to teach by what we do, by our actions, what we do and say. Harmful to a potential brother in the church. So, Second Corinthians 5:20-21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, we might be made the righteousness of God. That's the story we need to tell. That's the story we need to tell to every time we have an opportunity. You see, it will not be that you're teaching a lecture or a discussion. It will not be something that you anticipated, that you prepared for, that you spent time studying the Word for. It will not be that. It will come up when it's least expected and when you are totally unprepared, unless you're reading the Word, praying, doing what God asks you to do. If you're doing that, then you may have an ingenious idea. Not drawing a line in the sand, not changing water to wine, but something else that works. And you may be the only one that would think of that. I think God puts you in that position on purpose. We are God's ambassadors. We act in Christ's stead. Therefore, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistles. And I might add, by our actions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that this message is meaningful, that we understand that sometimes we fail to do the things that we ought to do, fail to take the action that we ought to do, fail to come up and give a glass of water to somebody that's coughing or sick, fail to do what we could do to be of assistance, be caring and compassionate, and to be acting in a Christ-like manner. It's not all big things, Father. It's a lot of little things, too. It's inviting the kids to come unto you. It's teaching the kids in Sunday school, and it's working with the kids in day camps and other places where you can have the opportunity from time to time to share your message, not only with the kids, but with moms and dads. And we pray, Father, that we not only make and do the actions, we understand that we need to act appropriately in these circumstances. But we also understand we need to have the words to say. And the only way we're going to have the reasoning and the ability to undertake to do that is if we read the Bible and pray. We pray, Father, that we do that. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.